This is the Etonicast. I'm Alex Roy, and as always, we have my good friend and co-host, Edward Niedermeyer.
Hey, Alex.
And we also have our other good friend, unfortunately unmiked right now, Kirsten Korosek.
Hey, guys.
And we come to you from the LA Auto Show, and the back seat of a really stunning vehicle, the Lucid Air.
Yeah. So this is, I don't know about you, Alex, this is the first time I've actually seen this car in the flesh, let alone sat in the back, and we're currently being chauffeured around, and it's pretty spectacular.
And that's coming from you, who dislike everything and will find fault with almost anything, but it can't be denied that this is an absolutely spectacular car.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you know, to be completely fair, right, like, you have to judge production cars and engineering prototypes in different ways, right? They're different vehicles with different, you know, kinds of work that go into them and different, you know, economic factors. So, you know, obviously I'm not comparing this to a production car. This is not a production car. This is an engineering prototype.
And yet you've now spent more time in an engineering prototype rolling comfortably than made by a company called Lucid than you have by that other company starting with a T.
Oh, no, I've spent way more time in a Tesla.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
But not a Model 3.
No, you have. They won't let you in the Model 3.
I've been in a Model 3. I'm going to, Kirsten, what are your impressions of the Lucid Air?
Okay, first impressions. You guys look incredibly comfortable in the back seat. These pretty cool, I mean, is that, what is that actually? Is that like kick back into almost like a lounge style?
I don't believe it's active.
I think it might be.
I mean, how would you describe, how is it sitting in the back seat right now?
I mean,
you guys look like you might be on vacation.
It's incredibly luxurious back here, I have to say. And like, not only do you have a ton of space and a really comfortable seat, but you have this amazing glass roof that is really unlike anything else.
You know, when you look at these seats and how far they can recline back, when Mercedes and the other manufacturers talk about first class, business class comfort, they're joking. Like, this is what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I love is that it manages to be both, like, bold, but also, like, tasteful, which I think is a tough thing stylistically to achieve that kind of balance.
This roof is fantastic, but they're going to have either, what do they call it? What do they call the glass that changes tint?
We've got some electrochromic.
Really? That's going to happen?
Yep.
And that's from our friend from Lucid, who's our, and you, what is your position at Lucid?
I actually work in the design team. I'm one of the sculptors there, and I do a lot of work taking care of our show properties as well.
I noticed actually with the window, with the glass, the windshield, do you guys notice that sort of like has a different look to it? Is that what you mean by, not tinting, but what was the term that you used?
So electrochromic or electrochromatic.
Okay.
It's tinting at the touch of a button.
Tinting at a touch of a button. Okay. It sort of does have like an interesting look to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it has almost like...
How much more tinting would an electrochromatic solution actually do than we're seeing right now?
So we're talking with our suppliers about just how far we can go with that. We can't release too much details right now, but it's significant.
One of the aspects of this glass that you don't realize until you sit in the car is that actually the front windshield and the roof over the driver and the passenger seat up front, it's all one piece. At least that's what it looks like. There's no pillar going across the front. It's not a complete one, and it's a stunning look.
And it looks actually longer than what goes into a Tesla Model X.
Yeah. It doesn't have the divisions between the different panels. There's one division, so there's a back panel that we're sitting under right now, but then Kirsten and our chauffeur are under a piece of glass that actually goes all the way down in one sort of continuous curve to form the windshield, and it's, like you say, very distinctive.
What I find really interesting about it is that even though it's lower than a Tesla Model S and lower than almost any like luxury sedan I've seen, that because of the roof, it doesn't feel low. It doesn't feel small. It feels big.
It's interesting because in pictures, it looks really huge. And I was surprised when it first rolled up that it's actually quite compact. And I was actually shocked to learn it's smaller by almost every dimension than the Tesla Model S. But then, yeah, when you sit in here, you can tell it's very trim. But because of all the glass, you don't get the claustrophobia that you get in other low, sort of sleek, coupe-like vehicles.
Also, I'm 6 feet tall, and there is space above my head.
Yeah, I'm slightly over 6 feet tall, and so, I'm comfortable.
It's really lovely.
Yeah.
I'm looking at sort of some of the small appointments and also looking at you guys lounging back there, looking like you're sunbathing. And I see some, I don't know, influences from aeronautics, like jets, and some influences of that here a little bit. Do you guys get that same sense, or am I way off?
If you spend any time in an Emirates, there's two kinds of Emirates first class. There's the ghetto kind on a Boeing, and then there's the nice kind on an Airbus, like an A380. And this feels a little more A380 to me.
Yeah, this definitely feels like an aircraft that I cannot afford to fly in.
Also, I like they have the three interior color combinations, and they named them after, I guess, parts of California. And this is Santa Cruz. Really tasteful. Yeah. Like very, actually, it's really Scandinavian.
I was going to say
it's got a bit of Volvo, and you can see where Tesla did not hire the right design guys. they did this. Our friend, our trusty clay modeler, I can see grins from up front of the car.
It does. It has a little bit of the minimalism that I think people associate with Tesla and other high tech sort of new electric cars, but there's a bit more warmth and, like, I want to say almost organicness, and again, like, that Scandinavian.
It's like a super Volvo. Like, why isn't Volvo making this now? Like, this is what you'd want a super Volvo EV to look like and feel like.
Yeah, this is what the S90 probably would like to be when it grows up.
Yeah, but, you know, S90 is, you can see that they're, like, kin, almost.
It's easy to get very excited, and I mean, no, you know, disrespect at all to our gracious host here to say, I think they're well aware of the challenge of taking a vehicle from this kind of level of engineering prototype to actually mass, or not mass, but, like, manufacturing it in a factory that you can, actually go out and buy it. And I look forward to seeing that transformation, but it probably will be a huge challenge.
Building cars is hard, Ed.
This is what I hear. This is what Elon Musk keeps telling me when we have our weekend chats.
All right, we're going to pull in and we're going to sit down for an interview with someone very special from Lucid.